I often have this conversation with my daughter, little Anna Martina. She's one of those girls that normally would ask the questions. She doesn't just, want an answer like, this must be so, or this is the way that you should approach it. She wants to know, why are we doing things? So we have this conversation quite often, and strangely enough, it's very good for me now to have these conversations, because she's now about, I think, 9 years old, eight turning nine, and so she's very young, but starting to listen to a lot of music that dad, finds quite strange, and all kinds of stuff. Facebook and all these things get relevant because the questions comes now. And then the nice conversation that we always have is, why do you think these things are so important? Why do you like the Shakira thing? Why do you like, she had a review this week there at a concert there at the school. And they sang a lot of songs, and afterwards she is so excited about these songs. Now I can ask her, so why do you like Shakira? Can we just have this conversation? And then strangely enough, because everyone likes it. And you know what? I find it so strange that even in the society that we are in, with a lot of intellectualism and a lot of things, information that we get from the internet, and that we so often are still caught off guard in the fact that we go with the flow. And I can tell you, when it gets to church, I want to challenge you this morning, because I recognize that, and I know that we as a church really wants to do exactly what God wants. But I often find that in church circles, we focus on getting a course against things rather than to follow what God wants us to focus on. Listen to me. We are not against the gay society. We're not against, abortion and against so many other things, as we are for healthy families. That we are for the truth. That we are for the Word of God. And so often, the devil gets us at a place where we focus on all the side issues, and especially in society today, rather than to focus on what is most important to God. And I want to just this morning recognize that, because for us as a movement and for us as a church, it's so important to, at this time, focus on the heartbeat of God. 1 Timothy 3, verse 15. But if I'm delayed, this is Paul writing to Timothy, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of truth. The church being the vessel, being the vehicle that Jesus chose when he left earth to protect the truth and to make it relevant to society that we are living in. But so often, culture dictates how we see the truth and how we manipulate the truth to fit our circumstances. And when it gets to the church, Jesus said that, I love my body. I love the fact that you can be part of a body and that you can receive the truth of it. Now, we speak a lot about it, and Pastor Fred say a lot to us as churches. It's so special. Again, this past 2 weeks, we had two congregations that became part of Shofar, one in Bosco Church, then Hermanas. Beautiful people, with the same purpose and same hearts beat for God. The other one here in Century City. I don't know if Stellenbosch always knows how much this congregation actually does in this country in sending pastors to go and plant churches. We've got about 35 churches, and it's just awesome to see what God is busy doing. But when I look at these things, I so often remind myself that we are also not perfect. That when it gets to the New Testament church and so many things that they did, they were also not perfect. That when it gets to my relationship with my wife, you know, we talk a lot about it, but, you know, we are not perfect. I'm not perfect. My wife is not perfect. But that is not going to hinder us to be married, to stay in covenant with one another. And when it gets to the church, you know, what is so special is the fact that God uses the church to be the salt to communities. We are not into churchianity. Are you with me this morning? Pastor Fred said it so, says it so much to us as leaders. We are not into churchianity. We are here to be the salt and the light of communities. So every community that we do get involved with, we make sure that we are the salt, that we are relevant, and that we really see societies being changed. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Now I want to, this morning, speak about the churches in Revelations. Revelations 2, and if you can turn with me, if you have your Bibles here, rather this morning read out of the Bible, make some notes, because it's going to help you a lot. 2 verse 1, Revelations 2 verse 1. To the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things says he, and important how Jesus introduces himself. These things says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars, and you have persevered and have patience, and have labored for my name's sake, and have not become weary. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. Repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent. But this you have, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. There's three things that Jesus does when he speaks at this stage to John, that was on the Isle of Patmos, that was there because they didn't want him to proclaim the gospel anymore. And he gets this dream from God, this vision from God, where Jesus speaks to him about the churches. Now, the first church in Ephesus was also the church that was planted with the third missionary journey of Paul, and a church that was actually, at this stage, a concern. And the three things that was important as Jesus approached every church. First, Jesus introduced himself as the revelation. Now, you must go tonight and go and read through Revelations 2, because you will understand when Jesus introduced himself every time, he actually tells the church what the solution to their problem is. And now for this church, having a problem with truth, Jesus says, I am the one that has the seven stars in my hand, the authority to hold it, and I'm the one to speak truth. So Jesus says, I am actually the one that lives by the truth. And he says to the church, I want to encourage you because I know, and that was the second thing that Jesus did to every church, he encouraged them. He said to them, I know that actually your heart is to live by the truth. The fact that you don't like the Nicolaitans, now I want to tell you, the Nicolaitans was an old problem in the church and in the people of God. The fact that the Balaam issue, the fact that truth would be seduced to God's people to such a way that idolatry and all kinds of pagan beliefs would then be used to take God's people astray from where God is taking them. And therefore, even the problem of sexuality and the temple priests and temple prostitutes with the Nicolaitans, that they always had a problem that certain people as false prophets came into the church with a subtle truth that was twisted and not being the real truth. And I can tell you, if I look at the church today, global church, the one thing that we will have to understand about the church is that the devil comes against the church like a wildfire with a subtle truth, the twisted truth. The fact that, you know what, the church should be and must be the holder of the truth. And if there's anything that the enemy would like to do is to come in sheep's clothing, to tell that he is actually the solution, the seductive powers. So when it gets to the Ephesian church or the Ephesus church, then we see their heart is right. They want to live by the truth. But the last thing, the third thing that every church received from Jesus was the rebuke. And Jesus said, you know what? I want you to get back to what is most important. Because you can have your agenda, you can have your twisted truth, but I want you to understand what the real truth is, and that is, get back to your first love. Get back to the basic things. And I can tell you that in the church today, we get so complicated about theology and about a lot of deep things, and I'm the first one that will fight for theology because I'm doing it myself, you know. But we get so distracted by things that matters least, and we don't get to the heartbeat of what the church is all about. It's to bring in the harvest to the heartbeat of God, the Father. And when it gets to Ephesus, Jesus says, I love you. I love you so much because I know that your heart is against this Nicolaitans and against, you know, the false prophets. So get back to the things that's most important. Now, there's two churches that I'm going to. There's seven churches, actually, that Jesus speaks about, and I want you to go and read all of them, because if you apply these three principles, you would understand exactly what Jesus was saying to the churches. But I want to focus especially on two churches that was actually almost the opposite of one another. The church of Smyrna and the one of Laodicea. Let's read Revelation 2, verse 8 to 11. And to the angel of the church. If you have your Bibles, please rather read in your Bibles this morning. I know it's very nice and fancy to do it on the screen. I love it when people get excited about the real Word of God in the book of the Bible. Verse 8. And to the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things says the first. Listen again how Jesus introduces himself. He says, these things says the first and the last, who was dead and came to life. I know your works, tribulations, and poverty, but you are rich. And I know the blasphemy of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful until death. Listen to this. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. You overcome shall not be hurt by the second death. The church of Smyrna was about 35 miles from the church of Ephesus. Now, if you read Revelation 3, all the churches mentioned, if you go on a map, it's like a half circle, all of them very close to one another. 35 miles from Ephesus, a very wealthy city, a harbor city. It still exists today, and there's quite a Christian community still. But John is the messenger, and I want to just emphasize that this morning, John is the messenger. Jesus himself is speaking to the church. And then it says that he's speaking to the angel of the house. It's an important thing mentioned here, because the angel means messenger. And I'll get back to that. Note that Jesus introduced the solution again. He says, I am the first and the last, and eternity is in my hand. I have eternity in my hand. Let me just remind you this morning. Jesus is in control of our lives. He's in control of this world. It says in the Bible that Jesus received all power on earth and in heaven when he was resurrected on the third day. You know, sometimes we think that Jesus is losing control, that the world is falling apart, and that we are going to, as Christians, you know, everything is going to fall apart. But Jesus is in control of his church. And he says, I've got eternity in my hand. You know what's so beautiful about what Jesus did when he rose from the dead? He left the Holy Spirit for you and I as a deposit. I want to emphasize it this morning because I don't think all of us understand how powerful it is. Eternity was already established in our hearts, in our lives, the day when Jesus went into heaven. Because he left the Holy Spirit, the one who brings eternal life to each one of us until Jesus comes back. And we will then, although we don't already have glorified bodies, we have a deposit, a seal from the Holy Spirit. It's powerful. People, we live eternal lives because of what Jesus did through his resurrection power. And when it gets to Jesus saying to the church, listen, do you understand what it means that I've got the authority to have life and death in my hand? He says to them, I know that you are going through a lot of hardship. To say the least, Jesus even mentions here, he says, the thing says the first and the last who was dead and came to life. Jesus says to them, I can actually tell you that I know what it's all about to have fear for death. Can I remind you that Jesus sweat blood before he went to the cross? That it was not an easy thing for him, but it was most important for him to do the will of God. And therefore Jesus says, I know that you are going through hardship. I know that even through the persecution that you are receiving, Smyrna, because I want also to remind you, even though it was a wealthy city, it was a very poor church. They did not have material things. Why not? Because the material things were taken away from them because of persecution. They didn't have anything. And that's why Jesus could say, listen, I can associate with what you are going through because I was on this earth as well and I actually died through the fear of death. I took authority over the same death and I'm laying life before you today. He says, you know what? If you can endure until the end, all the persecution that's coming against you, all the things that the people are saying at this time about you,
I can say to you, you know what? You're so spiritually rich because you understand eternal things. Total control. Jesus in total control. Who's the head of the church? Who is the head of the church? Jesus Christ. I want to just come back to the point of the angel of the house. You know what? If it was a real angel, as we would like to believe, understanding so many angelic visitations these days, reading about so many people that, you know, saw real angels. I can tell you, Jesus would not rebuke an angel, but the understanding that there's a head of the church that was appointed by God in authority, and that he will take, that Jesus will actually speak against that leader. And I'll get back to that when I read through the Laodicean church. But I want to just say to you, you know, when I look at society today, I can see a tendency of so many spiritual things that's busy happening in the midst of the persecution of Christians, because it's not easy to be a Christian these days. Are you with me this morning? Can I just say it again? It's not easy to be a Christian these days. I'm talking about radical Christianity, living the truth in our lives. Because persecution is at hand, but you know, when it gets to the truth, Jesus says in John 17:15, I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. You know what Jesus says to the Smyrna church? You know what? I'm not going to take the persecution away. I'm not going to take even the onslaught against you away. But he says, endure. He gives a command and he says, don't fear. Don't fear. Make sure that you go through the hardship and that you overcome the challenges, because the reward will be the crown of life, eternal values. So the Smyrna church understood that they're not living for this life. That even in the midst of this life, they can understand that God works everything together for our good because of Christ Jesus and the kingdom that must come to fruition. You know? Ironic is that Smyrna means myrrh, which was a drug that was used to kill pain. We read about it in Matthew 2:11, John 19:39, the gift of the baby Jesus and the ointment of the corpse of Jesus. But it was actually to kill pain. And ironically, Jesus is saying to them, I know the pain that you're going through. I know the pain and I have the solution for you. Stick it through. Stay the faithful ones that you are, because I am the first and the last. Eternity. The other day, I drove from Bloemfontein, now that I'm thinking of eternity, and I was driving in the car with Alistair. And Alistair is the pastor at the Bloemfontein congregation. Now, there in Bloemfontein, I can hear that a lot of Afrikaans is still going on. Flippy, things are still the same in Bloemfontein. And I was listening to the radio, and they had this one joke about Jan and Koos. Jan saying to Koos, Koos, Jan actually died, and he was speaking to Koos that was one night dreaming about him. They were very good friends here on earth, watching a lot of rugby together. And then one evening he dreamt about Jan. And Koos was lying on his bed, and Jan said to him, you know what, I have good and bad news for you. He said, the good news is that they do play rugby here in the heaven And the bad news is that you are kicking off tomorrow at 12 o'clock. Eternity. The fact that you and I understand that we are living in this life because we have the hope and the understanding that there's an eternal value that Jesus placed in and through our lives. Let's get to the church of Laodicea, Revelation 3, verse 14 to 22. And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, "These things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness." Listen again how Jesus introduces himself. He says, "These things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, 'I'm rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing,' and do not know what you are rich, miserable, poor, blinded, naked, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve." People, this is awesome stuff. "That you may see, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and I knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him and be with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." 90 miles from Ephesus, a town called Laodicea, a town that that's name means judgment of the people. It's actually compared with the modern church. If you listen to theologians, they would speculate to say, listen, if you go through all of the churches, then it is also the sign of the different ages that we went through as the church of God. So the last church then, the Laodicean church, the one for today. And Jesus introduced himself as the Amen, the firm, the true, faithful one, overemphasizing it because he knows that the church of Laodicea was actually not firm, was not faithful, that they were actually lukewarm. And in his rebuke, he said it to them. God knows the hearts of people. Psalm 139, verse 1 to 4. "O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehended my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether." This church, the Laodicean church, actually didn't have the fruit. There was nothing that actually revealed that they were Christians, that they had the power of God moving, and that they were convicted of anything. They were lukewarm. It's like drinking a cup of cold tea. You want to vomit it out. This is what Jesus says about this church. He says, "You are disgusting. You are standing for nothing. There's no spine in you. There's no stand that you are making to actually be the solution to the problem in the world." People, Jesus walks along the lampstands and he's asking his church, "Are you relevant and really the portrayer of the truth of the times that you are living in? Are you so relevant that you are the salt of the earth and the light of the world so that societies change? Not on a Sunday sitting here together and thinking that we are accomplishing much for God. This is the starting point. This is the place where you and I get to understand that Jesus is saying, be the salt. Be the light. You're only lukewarm, he says to the church of Laodicea. He says that I am the faithful one. He says to the angel of the house, because you say I'm rich, have become wealthy and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. You're even deceived in thinking that you are actually those things. You actually are so deceived in thinking that you are the solution. And he says to the church of Laodicea, you're actually so poor and deaf spiritually. Even though you are a rich people, you have a lot of material things, you really look like overcomers to the world out there, I want to tell you that spiritually you're nowhere. Now this is not a nice thing to say. People, for those who only understand Jesus as sweet and loving Jesus, I want to say to you, Jesus is on a roll. These last days, Jesus really wants us to understand that he means business. That he's not satisfied with where the world is at. He's not satisfied in all the chaos that's taking place because he loves us. Because he loves his church. We're not against anything. I want to tell you this morning, you know, we think that we as Christians, when it means to have a spine of steel, it means that you must be against all kinds of causes. The church of God should not be against anything, but to be for God and a full relationship with Jesus Christ. If we understand that the distractions are so much at this stage that we can get caught up in, like the Laodicean church, in all kinds of material things, like the Ephesians church, fighting about all kinds of truth and issues. That's right if your focus is on the true reality. I stand at the door and I knock. Why? Not because I'm against you. Not because I want to fight with you all the time. Not because I am a God that's looking and to criticize you every day. But I want you to be my people. I want you to go with me to even worship in the wilderness. The best that we can do in the times that we are living is at least to just worship God. I love what the worship team is doing. Richard, you guys, where's Richard? See, backstage. It's just awesome if we can recognize that we don't have it all. I spoke to the MTP, the Ministry Training Program people last week, and I said to them, you know, we don't have all the answers as well. We as a church, being so young even as a movement, 21 years, it's actually such a celebration for us this year. We're so young in the way in which we approach things, but you know what's so special is the humility to recognize that we don't have it all together. That we can say, God, help us that we can get to be your church, to listen to Jesus, your commands, to get to your heartbeat, to sit around the table and feast with you. Because that is all that Jesus wants. Come and feast. Come and experience the relationship with me. Bring the harvest in so that so many can be saved. And he brings the solution. He says, gold. I'm going to give you gold. Isaiah 55 verse 1 says, ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you have no money, come buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without honey and without price. You know what? Three things that was mentioned to the church of Laodicea. The one, the gold. Now, we know that gold catches your eye. You must focus on the bling bling. Jesus says, focus on me. Focus, Corinthians 3, 12 to 15. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved. Listen to this. Do you know that God, from time to time, actually cleanses us? That he wants to take away our wrongdoing? In 1 Corinthians it says, they will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so through fire. Fire comes. And that's why the second thing is the white clothes. The forgiveness of sins, Romans 3, verse 25 to 26. When God set forth as a propitiation by his blood, through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed, to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. White clothes. First one, gold. Focus on Jesus. The second one, we receive white clothes. Then the third one, repair the sight of the blind. Now it's so ironic. If you read the Laodicean church, the story, then I can tell you Laodicea was actually known for their medicine. And the medicine was a tablet that they took, and they were well known for this. A tablet that was then crushed into powder, and that powder was used to put on eyes. And that would heal the eyes. That would heal the eyes. It says, in the peace of Laodicea, that he will repair the sight of the blind. He will come and heal the eyes. To come back to its first love. Now you know what? Sometimes it goes with chastening. Hebrews chapter 12. For consider him, and I want to just say this morning, I cannot give your children a hiding. Are you with me? Do you agree with me, or can I give your children a hiding? A dad gives his own children a hiding. Because he... Are you awake this morning? Can I just get a... There at the back, a wave. A dad can only give his own children a hiding. Jesus would not say this if he did not go by the assumption that we, as his children, can be chastened by him. Verse 3. For consider him who endures such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. You have not yet resisted the bloodshed, striving against sin, and you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are legitimate and not sons. Illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have human fathers who correct us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chastened us as seems best for them, but he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness.
Now, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful nevertheless. Afterwards, it heals the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Therefore, strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and I knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. And then he gives the promise. Listen to this beautiful promise. He says to the churches, to him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. You know what? Jesus loves his church endlessly. He's tirelessly working to bring his church as the bride, to bring her to be ready for the time of his second visitation. He's not losing control. We often think that if our contribution and if our, doing is not happening, then everything is going to fall apart. You know what? Jesus is so strong. He is so mighty. He builds his own church. He loves his church. And therefore, we see the beautiful picture of Jesus saying, by the way, there was only two churches that was not rebuked. Of the seven churches, there was only two churches that was not rebuked. The Philadelphia church and the church of Smyrna. The other churches all received the rebuke. And I can tell you, we don't have the answers for the time and the season that we are about to go in. We don't have it all. There's a great responsibility, and I want to even ask you to pray for your leaders. Because God will come and visit his leaders because of the responsibility. The church of Laodicea was rebuked through their leader, their pastor, the angel of the house. I want to ask you to pray for your leaders, but I want to ask you through humility to get to a place of understanding that we are so fragile as human beings before God that we can only say, God, through humility we stand and we say that we don't have all the answers, but we need it so desperately for the times that we are living in. And it's the church that will live in humility, like the Smyrna church not having anything. The church that understands that I don't have material gain, I don't have even the scope and the picture of the church as it should be. But the Smyrna church must recognize that Jesus, it's all about you. It's all about you and the will and the kingdom that you want to accomplish in the times that we are living. Let's stand this morning. Father, our heart's desire this morning is to be like the Smyrna church. We actually choose this morning to be a Smyrna church. Even though, Father God, we must be honest with you that it sometimes feels like becoming weary, and we know that, Jesus, you are in control and that you are on a roll, that you are awesome and you are proclaiming your gospel through so many that are faithful to do so. And this morning I pray, Father, for the world. I pray, Father, that at this stage you will send your people to bring in the harvest like never before.
that your Father God people will go and tell others to bow their knee before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Father, this morning we ask that we will not fall for the temptation of distraction. But give us the opportunity to get back to the first love. And we recognize this morning that over and over and over you are still standing at the door and you're knocking. Because you love us so much. Because you will never leave us nor forsake us. You are the first, the last. You are the beginning, the end, the Alpha and the Omega. And Jesus, we stand here in Stellenbosch before you and we say that your kingdom will come to this town. Your will be presented to this town and it will come to its fruit. Because your people want to be faithful in serving you and following your ways. And I pray, Jesus, that we will be spiritually strong. That we will be spiritually, Father God, really understanding what you are saying to your church. This morning, we turn to you. We open the door and we ask that you will have a feast with us. That you will make your heart known to us. That you will bless us with your presence. And that each one of us here will experience the mighty manifestation of your presence in our lives. In Jesus' name. Amen. While we're standing, I want to, this morning, begin to turn to one another in this time. And if you're afraid this morning or you don't even feel like praying, that's actually the best time to pray. Because if we sacrifice the flesh, you know, the Holy Spirit just speaks into our lives. Let's this morning consecrate our lukewarmness to God and say, God, come and put the fire back in our bellies. Come and bring us back to the things that matters the most again. The things that really brings us to a mighty manifestation of you through our lives. Let's remind ourselves this morning as we pray over one another that Jesus is relevant. That he's not just a religion and a church Christianity. But he is the light to the world and he is the salt. So while we pray for one another, I want to ask you, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, don't leave this building this morning without making right with him. Then I want to ask you, while the others are praying, that you would step out, come to the front, and allow that door that is knocked be opened and Jesus would be the one to feast with you this morning. Don't leave this building without it. Amen. Don't walk out of this building without praying with somebody else. I know it's awkward, but let's allow God to really bring us to the fire in our bellies. Amen. Great. Let's just quickly turn to one another. Father, I even want to pray for the spirit of prophecy this morning. Come over your people. That this morning, if there's anyone here, Father, that has a word for somebody else, that it will flow. That it will flow, Father God. That this morning, people will be able to speak life into one another in Jesus' name. Father, we bring our hearts to you in Jesus' name. Bring us back to our first love. We want to ask you to really, Father God, set us on fire. To live for you and you alone. And Jesus, we proclaim your name this morning. We proclaim your goodness over our lives, your faithfulness. Do not leave or forsake us. In Jesus' name. If there's anyone here this morning that still needs some prayer, please come afterwards. We'll be here in front for those who need some prayer. You just need somebody to pray with you, to again just stand in faith with you for that fire in your belly. Let's this morning just consecrate ourselves to the Lord. And if you don't know Jesus Christ, I want to again ask you to come to the front and not leave. Amen. Great. Have a great day and enjoy the rest of the afternoon. And see you at the conference.